Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Every voter matters. And they're going to be out looking for every voter they possibly can find, especially in these key battleground states, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina. They are importante. They must be found. They're going to scour. They're going to search. They're going to Marco Polo it. They're going to open every single cupboard, flip over every rock, until they find every last voter they possibly could find, because it's going to matter. It is absolutely 110% going to matter in these states. If you think your vote doesn't matter, look, you're wrong. Does it matter as much as it maybe does in Ohio for president? No, probably not. Does it matter what you do on the local level? Absolutely. Some people texted me earlier saying, well, my vote matters. It does matter. But at certain levels. You know, one of the things that I've been seeing over the last couple weeks is not only is voter turnout going to be, I think, it's vitally important that both of them get as many people out in these battleground states on the ground helping people get out, i.e. retail politics, which is where Trump has struggled. But one of the other things I've seen is path to the presidency. Path to the presidency, meaning electoral college votes. How many of these polls have you seen where even though the race has narrowed, she's still up tremendously? That's extremely important. I said yesterday, and I've said it and echoed it on several occasions, there is a point that I still believe where he can win the popular vote and she can win the Electoral College and she'll be president of the United States. And in fact, that to me is a scenario that I have that seems more likely. But over the last couple days, because of the polls and the shifting, and because of some of these swing states starting to all of a sudden lean towards Donald, we've seen some of these path to presidency for Donald start to pop up. And even now, Nate Silver's 538 has a path to victory for Donald as the race tightens. Polls out there, places like North Carolina, he's up 7 percentage points. That's huge. She's up 11 in Pennsylvania. National poll gives her a 9-point lead. But the national, you take it with a grain of salt. Right? Because it's what matters in certain states. Every vote is going to matter. Every vote is going to count. Every single vote is so ridiculous, the importance of every single vote in Florida, in many of these places, like that Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. They are so important because I foresee that a few of these states are going to be so close. And here's the other thing. Get ready for legal challenges. Get ready for legal challenges. If you don't think both of these two people here aren't lawyered up to the hilt and ready to fight tooth and nail, and in some places they've already filed motions because they don't like certain things. If you don't think that isn't going to happen, unless it's a massive blowout. Look, if you lose by 10 million votes, it doesn't matter, right? You've got nothing to say. If you lose by 500,000 votes and you lose by a couple thousand in Florida, a couple thousand in Ohio, or even if neither of them win, understand, lawyering up is something that is absolutely probably going to happen. Because, first of all, we live in a litigious society, and that's what we do here. We love to lawyer up over everything. But it's going to be interesting to see what takes place. Her lead has shrunk tremendously, and he now has a path. His path and the models that Nate Silver had. It was kind of what I said. I said I have him about 35%. They have him at 30%. And that's the highest probability he's had in well over a month. So he's in with the puncher's chance. Where he is going to struggle, it's not with the black vote, it's not with the woman vote, it's not. He's already lost a good portion of that. And let me tell you something. Hillary's struggling with the millennial vote, and Hillary's struggling with the black vote. The African-American vote, they're just not enthused by what Hillary's offering. They're not enthused at all. They're not. And the millennials, there's zero enthusiasm for her. There is zero enthusiasm for the millennials. They just don't care. She's not Bernie, and she is much of what they're railing against already. So she's just, you know, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. She's going to struggle in those ways. Where her advantage comes in, though, is a great ground game. We've had Jim Kennedy on here numerous times from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, and he has always said retail politics is something Trump does horribly at. Well, in these cases, retail politics are important because you're going to see in many of these areas where the votes are going to be really needed, where you're going to see somebody like Hillary have the retail ground game to get people out to go rally up people, to knock on doors, to make phone calls, and to make sure that these people get to the place they need to be to vote. And that is important. That is highly important. I don't think people understand that. And that's something that's not being taken into effect right now, is the retail side of it. Trump has got where he has gotten to by being loud, by being brash, by saying things a lot of people think, by doing several things that we've never seen with a politician, and by using the media in such a way that is completely foreign to the way that we've seen politics done. But one of the things that is going to be important is the old school way that politics is being done, which is that retail side. So when I say that they're going to have to scale every mountain, they're going to overturn every rock, they're going to look in every cubbyhole, they're going to find everybody they possibly can. And this is the kind of thing where you hear stories about people who will go and get a big van and they will drive around and they will pick people up to get them to their polling station, to get into the place where they're going to vote. Trump doesn't have that. And in a place like Ohio, and in a place like North Carolina, and in a place like Florida, and in a place like Pennsylvania, and some of these other places where it's going to be close, Nevada, Arizona, you may need that to happen. And she has that in spades. She's got that for days. And that's where I think this could be a turning point. He has 6 days and counting, five and a half really, to continue to be on message, to continue to be straightforward, to continue to do the things that he needs to do to make this even more nerve-wracking over the next 5 days. Who knows what's going to happen? All I know is if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have said it's over, it's done, it's dusted. And I have said that. If you've listened to the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you would have asked Hillary a week ago, she was planning the big party. She was trying to figure out what goggles to wear when they popped the champagne. She was deciding, should we get T-shirts to say, Madam President? She was trying to figure out all of these things. She was working on her speech. She was talking to Bill about not sleeping with any of the interns or anybody part of the transition team. She was trying to figure out, okay, Bill, you're going to be in charge of the patterns and all the stuff that's going to be going decorating in the house. Now she's thinking to herself, I might have to call him and say, hey, no hard feelings. Congratulations on being president of the United States, Mr. Trump. Crazy, but true. The path is there, but it is still a narrow path. But where it once was last week, a path that only you could put one foot on, is now a path where you can easily drive a bike or a motorcycle. And by the weekend, because you know there will be incidents, there'll be situations, there'll be opportunities, there'll be a bomb or two that is dropped from both sides. Maybe WikiLeaks will dump something. Maybe Hillary's people will come out with something. But by the weekend, that path could be big enough to drive a bus through or a train or it could shrink back down to the point where it's rock climbing and it's not a path. He's still in with a puncher's chance, and I still think he's got about a 35% chance to win this thing. But I will tell you this right now. He's got to stay on message, and he needs to figure out a way to get the people who are on the Republican side of the ticket, who have already said they're going to throw in for somebody else or they're going to go vote for Hillary. In fact, last night they did a segment where some 28% of the people that have already voted Republican-wise, Republican people in Florida have voted for Hillary. That such is the disdain for Trump. He's got to figure out a way to get the people that may be on that same path but have yet to vote to jump ship and to get back on his train. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chadbensonshow.com. Love when you text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Cubs are up 1-0. We're in the bottom of the first inning. We'll be updating this. Who will win tonight? We'll talk a little bit about the Game 7 World Series. Learning moments, teaching moments, not just at home, but also at school. School missed a teaching moment. Shame on them. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Teaching moments, teaching moments, teaching moments. Kids need them. You know, we give our kids everything we possibly can, right? You give them love. You give them, you hope, a good set of values that they can take out. You want to raise, you know, young men and young women and send them out there because you don't want them to be little turds as they grow up and go, wow, who raised you? It's not just all about you having teaching moments, right? Because some of the teaching moments are going to come in situations where you're not involved, and that's a good thing because you can't be with them 24/7. A school in New York has failed in a teachable moment because they canceled mock presidential elections because some of the kids were retelling and saying things that they had heard that were derogatory towards minorities. They said teachers have heard some kids in the presidential cafeteria chanting Trump, 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 or saying they don't want Muslims here. Look, if they say they don't want Muslims here, that to me is a teachable moment. You talk to them. If they're saying Trump, 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 and you're trying to teach them that the elections are important, and they're saying something like that, what you're doing is you're saying, if they were saying Hillary, would you have said the same thing? But no, they can't go around saying some of the things Trump has. Jack and I have had a conversation on a few occasions over the fact that he's worried about Trump. My son is 6 years old. We sat down after we carved pumpkins a couple weeks ago, and we voted, and we talked about a lot of stuff. And as we were going through my ballot, and we were talking about things, and I was explaining things to him, when we talked about the presidential thing, he was worried because his best little friend in the world is Mexican, little Latino kid, great kid, and Jack is worried that they're going to throw him and his family away. Understandable. The rhetoric, this is where it gets, you know, the rhetoric that he has screamed and yelled, the things that he has said, and the way that the left has grabbed onto it and used fear is silly. But if you don't think the six-year-olds pick stuff up, eight-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, if you think for an instant that you have money problems or you're having problems in your marriage or maybe you're drinking too much or you've got stress and your child doesn't know about it, you're wrong. It's no different than your child not hearing what you say. The teachable moment was right in front of them at this elementary school. They could have said, no, what Trump is saying is wrong. But they can also put it in perspective. They can talk about everything. This is what it's about. One thing they've taught these kids is, well, in the end, we'll just cancel it. And we won't do it. And that's not what we do. Look, all of us have joked around over the last couple of months and weeks that wouldn't it be nice just to cancel next Tuesday and we'll move on to something else? We've all joked about it, but that's not the way the world works, and we're going to move forward and this thing's going to take place. The rhetoric, the screaming, the yelling. Teachable moments come at times that may be uncomfortable. And part of teaching is uncomfortableness in what you're teaching in those teachable moments. Case in point, Jack got in trouble today at school. So we're going to have a talk tonight. It's going to be uncomfortable because he's going to be upset. He's going to be crying and it's all going to be sad. But what he did is, it's minute compared. I mean, he and his friends were wrestling on a couch in the library and it got a call from school. I mean, I find that to be ridiculous, but whatever. It is what it is. But those are the rules. It's a teachable moment. This was a teachable moment. You've got an elementary school canceling its presidential election, which is extremely important. These kids should be learning about their civic duties and voting and all these things because, yes, there is a person inside of the election that feels a certain way about things. And rather than say, no, let us tell you, this is the way he feels. This is the way some people feel. Give them an entire, as much as a 6, 8, 10, 12-year-old can understand, give them a feel of that. Give them an understanding. Break it down to a level that they can get. Teach them something. What they've taught them is if you say something loud enough, or if somebody disagrees, we'll just cancel everything. And that is no good for anybody. That's not the teachable moment you want. The teachable moment was right in front of them. Should have been easy. Should have been simple. But they decided not to do it. And that is sad. That is sad. Because those things, those moments are as valuable as what you're learning inside of those books. And they jack the pooch. Can't do that, kids. Can't do that. We are through one in Chicago. I mean, in Cleveland, Chicago's up 1-0. Home run by Fowler. He hit that thing a ton. Cleveland struggled a little bit in the first. Had some base runners. Chicago seems to be swinging the bat pretty well. We'll see what happens. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. 323. 538-2423, 323-538-2423. That there, kids, is the text line. We love when you get text messages. This is the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We have a drug problem in this country. I think we realize that. We have a bad drug problem. How do we deal with the drug issues in this country? That's something I think that we need to figure out. We need to tackle. One of the big things that's going on right now is we have a heroin epidemic that is, well, it's ugly. It is ugly, and that's being, I think, kind. Heroin epidemic that is growing, that is strengthening, and I think it's, you know, here's the thing. You look at meth. And you look at things like crack. I think it's fair to say those are poor people drugs. People that we don't care about, if you will. By that, I mean not we, but I mean society. Right? Society doesn't care about that. Heroin, though, has hit at the heart of America. And it's become such an epidemic, and it starts out in suburban areas. It starts out with opioid abuse, and people move on from there. And we've got an issue in this country, and we've got to figure out a way to deal with this issue. Are we dealing with it the way that we should? No, because we are a reactionary country in everything we do. Everything we do is reactionary. We win at business because we have the foresight to think ahead. Do you understand that? We win at business. Why? Because we entrepreneurs think tomorrow there's going to be a need for something, and I'm going to fill that need. When it comes to things like drugs, we react to the problem. First, we try to push it underneath a rug. We hide it in the corner. We ignore it. But we don't treat it like a business in the sense that we don't think forward enough on how are we going to stop this. I saw a couple parents that I, quite frankly, thought are maybe the most disgusting people. Won't give you out their names because I don't think it's worth it. They had a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. They're now in foster care. And God willing, they will never go back. Never go back to their parents. And their parents may get their lives together. But they injected their kids with heroin. They called it the feel-good juice. Do you understand that? I mean, do you get that? That two people, two individuals, thought that that was a good idea. Now, they're heroin addicts. They're an absolute mess. And of course, being a mess, being young and stupid, you have to, of course, reproduce because that's what you do. Idiocracy is getting closer every day. Those kids, what kind of chance do they have? Probably not a good one. It's really, it's sad to see what's going on. And we're just now paying somewhat of attention to this. Because it has hit middle America. You see people who are dying from overdoses. You know, again, we have this part of society that we turn a blind eye to. Somebody overdoses in crack. It's a poor person. Nobody cares. You know, somebody does meth. It's a poor person, some weirdo. We don't care. But a lot of times you see these people who are addicted to these opioids and then get onto heroin. We change our tune because it's a different, because they're like us. Could be anybody. My back could hurt and somebody could give me an opioid. Next thing you know, X amount of months away, I'm, you know, already in a situation where you could be addicted to something and you're looking for it. And it's that quick. And that's how it's happened. And it starts out very nonchalant, very easy. And it spirals. And it's middle America. It's suburbia. This is where we need to think forward. Not react, but think forward. What do we do? And this is something I think where Donald Trump has missed the ball in a lot of ways. You know, for one of my big frustrations with Donald is at times I could never really tell what path he was on, and where he many times wanted to be different, he echoed some of the same sentiments that have seen us fail. He's a businessman. Right? You're a businessman. If you see something in business that fails, what do? You figure out a way to fix it. That's what he needed to do, but he did not do when it came to drugs. We should have talked about the fact that he could have been far more of a leader in talking about it. And when you're in a place, and think about this for just a second. Ohio is what? It is a swing state. It is also a state that has seen absolute epidemic proportions of heroin, overdoses, and deaths. Every opportunity to go in there and not only address the issues at hand with what's going on with lack of jobs and the frustration of a stagnant economy and the fact that many of the mills and the things that literally just, you know, permeate everywhere there. When we were there, we saw so many of these things that are just ghost towns and shells of themselves. But on top of that, with that desperation and with things like that, people do stupid things. People get addicted to stuff. People try things, trying to numb their pain. The opportunity for him to not only go in there and address this. He addresses it fleetingly. He doesn't get deep in the weeds with it. He addresses it fleetingly. Oh, heroin's bad, but it's always based a lot of times off of, well, once we figure out how to build a wall, we can stop this problem. It's not a problem with people getting the drug. It's a problem with their gateway to that drug was the fact they got addicted to something else. I've known some people in my life that, you know, besides my father, but other people that were addicted to heroin or at one time or another had an issue with it. I don't know if you know anybody, but I will tell you this. They didn't start with that. They worked their way up. He had a chance to address it and talk about the fact that not only is he a different candidate, but he was going to figure out a way to take on the drug epidemic in a way that was real for our country. That's important. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, you've had a family member. It may have been you, maybe yourself, maybe your kids, may have been your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, who has had issues with addiction. And you know what it can do to a family. You know what it can do to a community. You know what it does to not only individual lives, but people surrounding those people who are addicted. He had a chance, in many ways, I think, to address this. Especially in a place where swing votes are extremely important and you've got an issue where there's a huge epidemic of opioid, drug abuse, and heroin abuse. And he didn't. These are the little things I think if he looks back, he's going to kick himself on. But the reason that I think he should have been ahead of it is because he has not been in this political world that only sits around and talks about stuff and rarely does anything and only reacts to it. He's been in a world of business where it's about being forward-thinking. It's about being first in the markets. It's about being innovative. It's about being ahead of the curve. And I think he blew that chance. He blew that chance. And when you're dealing with areas where people... Because no matter how much you like politics, no matter how much you love politics, no matter how much you care about politics, if you've got a family member, if you've got a friend, if you've got an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, maybe even it's you, if you're in that and you see what's going on, politics, you don't have time for it. You may hear about it, you may get your vote out. But if you hear somebody taking it head on and talking about it, and not talking about it in the sense of we're going to be law and order and crime and crack down, but we're going to be forward thinking and actually do something that will actually achieve the goals, which is we started a war with drugs some 25, 30 years ago. We have lost that battle. It's time to think differently. Ahead of the curve. And that's my frustration at times with him. It was there. It was in front of him. And it was in a wheelhouse in places that he needs to win, where they're also at the same time not only struggling with their economy and unemployment, but they're struggling with an epidemic of drugs and abuse. And he failed at times to latch on to that. And when he did, it was very, very surface, and it was very much more law and order and people coming across the border to deliver this, not addressing the real problem. I have news for you. If people aren't addicted to drugs, you can drop beer off at my house all day. You could drop pot off at my house all day. You could drop crack and heroin at my house all day. I'm not going to take it. So I'm not going to pay you for it. So its value to me is zero, which means what? It's got no value to you either. Something to think about. Definitely. Something else to think about is your health. I love health. We talked earlier about Superbeats. Because of the fact that we don't get enough sleep, we struggle, and now, you know, you've got this new report saying that people who don't get a lot of sleep, they tend to reach for sugary foods the day after, and because they do that, they are looking for that sugar, and it's nasty. Well, you know what? I don't sleep a lot. But you know what gives me that kick? Superbeats. that kick I need. Helps with my blood flow. It's critically important, especially as you get older and you don't sleep a lot. You don't want to put on weight and you don't want any of those nasty sugary drinks and you don't want to be reaching for a candy bar. You want a kick. You want some energy and you want to do it healthy. Super Beats is the way to go. It's the natural way to support healthy blood flow. This is about getting dietary nitrates into your blood flow and into your body and to convert those things to nitric oxide. And guess what? Super Beats does that for you. It's the easiest way to do it. One scoop into water, maybe a smoothie, some of those other things. Boom, away it goes. 15, 20 minutes, you feel it. There's no beet taste. There's none of that crash. And there's none of those nasty, empty calories that, you know what? Come on, we're all, as we get a little bit older, a little longer in the tooth, we all want to shed some LBs. We want to be a little bit healthier. We can't afford any of those empty kind of things. Super Beats is a healthy alternative to that. Get away from the coffee. Get away from the nasty stuff. Stop reaching for all this gross candy bars and all this kind of stuff. Do something smart for your body. Super Beats is the way to go. And I know what I say. I always talk about taste. I got a bunch of new Super Beats last night at home. Taste is not the issue, right, Phil?
Absolutely, taste isn't the issue. I take it first thing when I get up in the morning before I take my walk. And again, 20 minutes after taking it, I really feel the energy. And walk, you know, 2 or 3 miles in the morning, and it tastes wonderful.
It does. It absolutely does. So if you're worried about the beet taste, don't be. And this is what they're going to do for you, and you're going to love this. You're going to get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. Make sure it's working in your body. You're going to get free shipping and a book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free. And all of this comes to you guaranteed or your money back. Do you understand that? If it doesn't work, if you aren't happy with it, it's guaranteed or your money back, but you're not going to ask for your money back because it does work. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff really works. Go to chadbeats.com. Order today. Say, Chad sent me. Talk a little baseball and dad bods. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
We are wrapping it up, watching the baseball games, tied at 1. Cubs looked like they were just going to roll early. Got out of a tough spot, Cleveland did. Next thing you know, Cleveland has got first and second, one out. Looks like there could be some nervousness. Nervousness. Somebody tonight will be pouring champagne on their head in the next 3 hours. Somebody tonight will have those goggles on their head as they squirt their champagne everywhere. Somewhere tonight, there are going to be people mailing T-shirts to other people in poor parts of the world who are going to be wearing what they think is the world champion's T-shirt, only to find out that the Cubs or Cleveland didn't win that year, but they got a free T-shirt, so they're dealing with it. Somebody in Africa believes the Buffalo Bills are the greatest football team in history after going to 4 Super Bowls. Who is this Cecil and Jim Kelly? Chad, you're such a jerk. Producer Phil, have you ever been in a city that's won a world championship?
Baseball, no.
Or any championship?
Well, I was the Redskins when they won their Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's true. So you were out there.
I was out there. I skipped school in seventh grade.
I have grown up in a... Yeah, I grew up in Los Angeles. And so when... The day that the Lakers get into the world championship or the Kings get into the world championship, they... But it's mostly the Lakers. I'm not going to lie to you. But they always have to run something. This is how sad we've gotten in this country. I can't imagine what the conversation is and how many commercials they're running in places like Cleveland or Chicago, that we actually have to run PSA saying, we know you're super excited about your team winning something, but if for the love of God, can you not go out and light stuff on fire, flip police cars, and shoot things, that'd be super.
Chicago already has enough shooting.
They've got enough shooting. They've got enough shooting. But the fact that we have to have those PSAs just makes you shake your head tremendously. It's so sad. But can you imagine what it's like tonight to be in Chicago? the edge of the feet, 108 years. You're on your edge of your seat. This is what you've been waiting for. On the opposite side, Cleveland, it's been 70 years for you. You've not won anything for 70 years as far as baseball goes. You just won the NBA championship, and I see all or most of the Cavaliers are in the house, including LeBron James. But could you imagine what it's like? And I hear on Cub Hub today, tickets for this game tonight, a lot of Chicago fans there, were $20,000 for tickets. $20,000. And if you had the money and the Cubs win and you took your son, you took your daughter, you took, do you realize like that is, those are memories that are out of, you can't, like those are memories that you just can't. And I know what it's weird to say, it's like 20,000. You know, so what? You spent $40,000, but obviously you're making enough money. It's probably not going to kill you. And those are memories that are just incredible. It's fantastic. We'll have a new world champion tomorrow. We'll have a new president next Wednesday. Very interesting. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can always text the show. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I have that phone with me, and I get right back to you. It's me that's texting you, not Phil or Anthony or anybody. Have yourself a good hump day. Wednesday, we'll get over it again tomorrow. Thursday's here. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.